Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Week number 16 of the National Football League regular season in 2023 kicks off tonight in Los Angeles, the third to last week of this NFL regular season. The final three weekends, Joe, start on this Thursday night in Los Angeles. It's a matchup in the NFC of two of the five teams in the conference, firmly in the playoff picture, but each with a 7-7 overall record. The Rams host the Saints. We'll preview Thursday night football. We'll get you set for week number 16, and we'll take a look all around the college football landscape with some potential realignment on the horizon and back into bowl season on this Thursday as well. Lisi guy, let's get it rolling.
Oh, I love this time of year, Ben. College football, bowl games, NFL. It starts tonight with the primetime matchup and a pretty good one, to say the least. New Orleans and the L.A. Rams fighting for wild card contention. Something has to give, and we've seen now in terms of Thursday nights, these totals potentially go through. Last week, we saw L.A. and Las Vegas blow through that 34.5 point number, yeah. 46.5, and a quarterback in Matt Stafford and the L.A. Rams that have won four of the last five. They dominated Washington last week. Cooper Kupp getting involved. Kyren Williams, that defense slowly coming into form. And I said it, and I continue to back it, that if the LA Rams make it into the NFC playoffs, they are going to be a very difficult out the rest of the way. And Sean McVay, I think, is actually looking forward to this matchup tonight against potentially a one-dimensional offense in the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, so much to get into from what this game will look like, how we break down the actual matchup, but of course the ramifications of where this stands at this point in the NFL schedule as we look forward to the postseason. Quickly, let's bring in that Sirius XM audience. Channel 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. This is Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Week 16 of this NFL regular season, the final 3 week stretch of this NFL regular season, gets underway tonight in Los Angeles. A game, Joe, that's pretty emblematic to me of where the NFL stands, how the playoff picture looks in both of the conferences, of course, with a focus on the NFC tonight. We said it before, we'll say it again. Five teams in the conference as a whole with a 7-7 overall record, all very much still in the running for a playoff spot, including both the Saints, 7-7, and the Rams, who face off tonight. LA also 7-7. If the season ended today, it does not. We have three more weeks. Los Angeles would have the third and final wild card spot in the NFC. The Saints, one of the two 7-7 teams, battling it out for the top spot and the divisional title in the NFC South, Tampa Bay, that other side. So those are the playoff ramifications, Joe, where Los Angeles enters with a minus 132 make playoff price. New Orleans is plus 104. And the reason the Saints is plus 104 is because it's not just a wild card potential for New Orleans, Joe. It's also the idea that the Saints could contend with the Buccaneers for the NFC South. Now, Tampa's minus 162 at the moment to win the NFC South, the Saints plus 215. But really, Joe, outside of tonight's result in LA, inside SoFi Stadium, I think the NFC South divisional race comes down to the final 2 weeks of this regular season. The Saints in Tampa taking on the Buccaneers next weekend, week number 17. It's the week 18 regular season finale as well for New Orleans, as the Saints will host the Falcons.
Yeah, I think the NFC South could be basically, you know, characterized as the land of misfit toys. You have good teams, not a great teams in terms of that division. And New Orleans entering the year had a dominant defense that held them together in terms of the early part. The offense has been inconsistent. When you look at Tampa Bay, they happen to be the most consistent offense right now heading into week number 16. So only time will tell. I'll say this. The New Orleans Saints come into this ballgame tonight. They 1-2 straight against mediocre competition in terms of Tommy Cutlets and Bryce Young in back-to-back weeks, put up over 20 points in both of those ball games. They're going to need a dynamic effort because, again, when you look at the LA Rams offense, they are hitting on all cylinders, running it with Kyren Williams, throwing it with Matt Stafford. So in order to win this ball game tonight, they're going to need to step up from an offensive perspective, and that's where I still give the edge to Sean McVay and the LA Rams in this ball game, Ben.
And listen, it's been the offense that has been tooling for LA as of late. The Rams have won 4 of their last 5 games. They have gone over in 3 of those 4 games. Matthew Stafford has thrown for at least 254 yards in 3 consecutive games. LA, they have covered in their last 3 booked as a favorite. They've been a great favorite this year, 6-1 straight up, 5-2 against the number. They have covered in 4 straight overall for LA. Meanwhile, on the other side, Joe, for New Orleans, this will be just the 3rd game this year the Saints have been booked as an underdog. And what I find so peculiar about that, this is game number 15 for a New Orleans team that is 7-7, and yet this will only be their 3rd game as a dog this year. Often, Joe, if I were to tell you a team's an even 500, they would have probably been an underdog for at least a half of their games. Not the case for the Saints. They won outright on the road as a short 2.5-point underdog in New England back in October. I don't think anybody would be getting points in New England right now with where the Patriots are. And the Saints a couple of weeks ago got blitzed early on by Detroit at home in the Big Easy. They were down 21-0 7.5 minutes into that game before the Saints rallied to make it tight. Ultimately, Detroit won by 5 and covered as a 4-point road favorite. Those are the only 2 other times, Joe, New Orleans has been the underdog entering an NFL matchup this season.
Yeah, it's because of how they're perceived, right? And we talked about the foundation of this ball club entering the year built on defense. And when you have an above-average defense like the Saints that can run sideline to sideline, the book's perception is that they'll be in each and every ballgame. They've been forced into this style over the past couple of weeks, right? The offense with Derek Carr and that, you know, playmakers with Olave, Mike Thomas now out. They've been inconsistent in terms of red zone opportunities up until that ballgame against Detroit. Once Detroit jumped up 21-0, it was like we have to pass to obviously win ball games, and they've slowly transformed in terms of back-to-back weeks. Can that continue on the road? Because when I look at this ball game, and especially from the totals perspective, we know the Rams are going to potentially push tempo, but I don't necessarily think that's the way New Orleans has to win this game. I think a lower scoring game would favor the Saints just because of how inconsistent they have been this year, and that's why, again, when the chips are in the middle of the table, when I break this down, I go to the Rams, but I actually think that this game is an under tonight.
Yeah, we look at where the lines are right now. It was 4.5 for most of this week in favor of LA. For whatever reason right now, it's down to just 3.5 in favor of the Rams. The over-under has been pretty consistently 46.5. That is where it remains. New Orleans has played 10 of its 14 games this year, 2 and under. Again, LA has gone over in 3 of its last 4. We'll look at the individual key matchups and break those down as we look at the key offensive figures for tonight's game in the prop market. But again, it does bear repeating how significant this game is for a playoff chase. Joe, the Rams right now 38-1 to win the NFC Championship. It's the 6th best price on the board. There is a large drop off from where the Niners are in minus money to where the Eagles and the Cowboys are with the 2nd and 3rd best prices respectively, to even where the Lions fall off to as the NFC North hefty divisional favorite, to where the teams that are in the wild card spots at this moment might be seen as in contending for a conference championship. We'll look at all that, continue to break down Thursday Night Football up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and
Live
Ben Stevens.
Right here on Full Circle. Joe, I'm going to pass it off to you. Something happened to my headphones. Sorry.
back on Football Full Circle, breaking down the Thursday night matchup. Joe Lisi, Ben Stevens, talking about the matchup in terms of New Orleans and the LA Rams. I talked about it with Ben. Ben left off talking about how the value for the LA Rams to win the NFC Championship, currently based in the area, depending upon the book, about 35-38-1. I jumped on this team a couple of weeks ago, 45-1 respectively. Second best team, in my opinion, behind the San Francisco 49ers. Why? Because Matt Stafford playing like he did back in the Super Bowl a few seasons ago. Cooper Kupp obviously developing, Ben. And Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams, when you have young playmakers, the like Kyren Williams that can run it and catch it, really puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. My apologies for that small technical blip, but glad to be back here with you and way to hold it down. But Joe, I completely agree. When you look at tonight's game, if the Rams are going to win, and they're favored right now by 3.5 points, 4.5 for most of this week, I think the Rams do win this game. I do think it is competitive. I thought the line was going to be closer to 3, but again, I do agree with LA being favored. So let's say they win by a point. They win outright. If that is going to happen, the Rams' resurgence here over the final month and a half, the last month and a half of this NFL regular season, Joe, has been offensively. It has been Matthew Stafford, who has thrown for 254 yards at least in the last three games for LA. And when you look at what the Rams have done, that's when they are at their best. Not only Matthew Stafford, Joe, and the connection we'll discuss with Puka Nacua all year long in the reemergence of that relationship with Cooper Kupp, but I do feel we need to highlight Kyren Williams, who has rushed for at least 88 yards in the last five games for LA. In four of the last five games, he has gone over his rushing yards prop for tonight, which is 89.5. And when he has gone over 89.5, those four times in this five-game window we are discussing here, he has rushed for at least 114 yards. He has scored 4 in 4 of the last five games, 3 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving scores as well. Joe, he has been a huge offensive spark for this LA team under Matthew Stafford, under Sean McVay.
No, he really has. And again, his ability out of the backfield in terms of third down situations has been critical. But when you have a bell cow, and think about what they had last year, Cam Akers, you know, came on towards the end of last year. They traded him to Minnesota. They haven't had that consistent rushing attack in terms of Darrell Henderson at the start of the year. Wasn't really developing out of Memphis the way they thought. So that's why they've turned to the former Notre Dame star running back. And it is amazing in terms of, like, you think of Kyren Williams, when he came out of college, he wasn't looked at as like this elite running back. He was a good running back, productive, but when you see what he's doing now in terms of Sean McVay's offense, it really is dynamic. In terms of this matchup, Ben, I looked at that number and I'm like, you know, it's definitely doable for Kyren Williams to get there in terms of 89, you know, 85 in that area. But is that the way Sean McVay potentially wants to attack New Orleans in this ballgame? I believe that Matt Stafford and LA want to attack over the top early on, see if they could stretch New Orleans defense vertically, get some chunk plays, jump up just the way they did against Washington. And in terms of this five-game stretch where they have put pressure on opposing offenses to potentially match them score for score, because I think that's the weakness of New Orleans, and playing at home, I think that could be the recipe. I don't know if Kyren gets to this number potentially tonight, because I also think they utilized him in the passing attack, so a little hesitant, but to your point, when he gets to that number, they win ball games.
Yeah, he certainly does, and that has been a huge part for L.A. here as of late. On the other side, Joe, it's Alvin Kamara, of course, for New Orleans. 59.5, his rushing yards prop, but he's not just utilized in the backfield. 59.5 rushing yards for Alvin Kamara, 30.5 receiving yards. The Saints, who have scored 24-plus points in their last two wins against the Panthers and against the Giants, so it is taken with a grain of salt. Get a good boost on offense tonight to have Chris Olave back. He is expected to play. He's been nursing an ankle injury. He's been battling the flu bug at this time of year. But Chris Olave expected to play for New Orleans tonight. His receiving yards prop, 60.5.
Yeah, I mean, that is, Chris Olave, I'm a little hesitant. Do they go to the youngster in terms of Rashid in that offense, or they turn to Kamara? I mean, put it this way. He needs to get there, I believe, because they need to utilize everybody. Do I want to bet that right here, right now? A 60.5, I think, is a huge number. I like Shaheed at 34.5, Ben. Even Juwan Johnson, a bigger body in terms of red zone opportunities, at 19.5, I think has some value.
Yeah, I think so as well. And when you look at Derek Carr, he hasn't thrown for a ton of yards the last couple of weeks in those wins. Hasn't really been asked to do much. The Saints held both the Panthers and the Giants to only 6 points. But last week, Joe, incredibly efficient. 23 of 28 for only 218 yards, but did have 3 touchdown tosses. So he had nearly as many touchdown passes as he did pass incompletions, 3 and 5 respectively. His prop tonight, 227.5. But Lisa, guy, it sounds like to me you're on the Rams tonight. You have a Rams ticket to win the NFC. You have a Rams ticket to be a playoff team. So I think in the quarterback comparison, you probably skew then to Matthew Stafford.
I do. 242.5, I think, is a light number for him. I think he could get into the area 275 in that area. Why? Because they're playing at home. And again, that's been the MO of this offense, pushing tempo. And then once they build a lead, then they can run it with Kyren Williams. So, again, we've seen New Orleans give up some plays. Look at what Jared Goff did 3 weeks ago, Laporta. I mean, he was tearing apart that defense early on. So I think that's the way L.A. attacks it. So 242.5 for me out of both quarterbacks, I think, is the way to go for Stafford. And again, I altered him up in one parlay to 275 plus. I don't know if we get to 300, because I think we could still be under that 45.5, 46 point total tonight. But it's Stafford or bust for me.
Yeah, completely agree. Again, 254 at least for Matthew Stafford in the last 3 games for the Rams. They have won 2 of those 3, and obviously kept it tight with Baltimore on the road in overtime in the Charm City. They covered in that game as a 7.5 point underdog. But the tough thing against this New Orleans team is they've actually been a little bit more susceptible on the ground than through the passing attack. Only one of the previous 7 quarterbacks they have faced has gone over this number of 242.5. Now, all that being said, Matthew Stafford is playing at a higher level than any of the quarterbacks the Saints have played in the last month or so, but just something to keep in mind. Joe, where my favorite prop is in this game tonight is by looking at Cooper Kupp, his reemergence as that top target in this offense. 73.5, the receiving yards number for the man we call Triple Crown Kahooper here on FFC. He's gone over 73.5 in 2 straight games. He's had at least 111 receiving yards in 2 straight games. He has scored in 3 straight games as well. But I look more at the total receptions. Listen, Matthew Stafford is in the low 240s. The Rams are going to throw the football tonight. With how much success, that is what we will find out on this Thursday night in SoFi. But I believe the plan is to throw the football. Just like you said, Joe, maybe that's how Sean McVay and this LA offense want to attack New Orleans' secondary tonight. So when you think about what Cooper Kupp brings to that connection and relationship with Matthew Stafford, it's been on display the last couple of weeks, not just in yardage, but in terms of targets. 8 targets last week, 8 grabs. 10 targets the week prior, 8 grabs. 8 targets the week before that, only 6 catches, which brings me to my next point. 6.5, the total receptions prop for Cooper Kupp, over a little bit of plus money, Joe. I think that connection, that relationship is back between Kupp and Stafford. I like over 6.5 receptions.
Yeah, I didn't take the receptions. I took the over 73.5 to your point, and I altered it to 90 plus, and he has great value in terms of anytime touchdown. That's the way I'm playing it.
Yeah, completely agree. When you look at that anytime TD price for Cooper Kupp, at times throughout his career, it's been as heavily juiced as minus 175, close to two Bills, plus 130 only for Cooper Kupp tonight. The NFC playoff picture and what Thursday Night Football means up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So Thursday Night Football, that starts off week number 16 tonight in Los Angeles between the Rams and the Saints, I think, Joe, really represents what we are going to see over the final 3 weeks of this NFL regular season. Games between even two teams that are an even 500 having huge ripple effects for the playoff picture and their conference, and of course we'll see the same thing over in the AFC. The Rams and the Saints, again, both 7-7 entering the final 3 weeks of this year, Joe, but both firmly in playoff spots. Right now, the Rams would be the seventh and final NFC playoff team. The Saints in a hunt for either that wild card spot or still battling it out for the top spot in the NFC South Division alongside the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two of five teams overall in the NFC at 7-7 with a lot to figure out in those final two wild card spots and in the NFC South Divisional race. Joe, we are going to see a ton of that up and down the weekend slate here in week number 16. Again, it starts tonight on a Thursday in LA.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the team that's really peaking in that conference outside of, you know, New Orleans right now happens to be Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is an intriguing, you know, team right now with Baker Mayfield putting up points, got the dominant road win over Green Bay. But they get Jacksonville this week, which I think is an intriguing matchup. Whether Trevor Lawrence plays or not, I still like the Jaguars in that ballgame. But if they could get that victory over Jacksonville, now you're talking about this team being 8-7 overall, really separating themselves potentially from the rest of the teams in that division and peaking at just the right time. We always talk about teams peaking at the end of the season. Cincinnati and Buffalo in the AFC, and now Tampa Bay and LA, the way they're starting to come into form. We talked about Matt Stafford. Baker Mayfield now has a home in Tampa, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely so. What the Buccaneers have done, winners of three in a row, the last two outright as road underdogs, what Baker Mayfield did last week in Lambeau, 381 yards, four passing touchdowns, a perfect passer rating against the Packers. It should not be overlooked. The good vibes around this Buccaneers side and where they are entering week number 16. Joe, 16 games this week in the National Football League, all 32 NFL teams, as we have said, in action. There are no more bye weeks. Right? So 16 games spread out over 4 days. Tonight, one on Thursday. We have a doubleheader on Saturday. Sunday slate is Christmas Eve. It's pretty robust and full. And then a triple header on Monday, which is Christmas Day, with some marquee matchups all day long. Joe, 16 total games in week number 16. Only two of them at the moment feature teams that have either been eliminated from postseason contention already, and both of the two teams either eliminated from postseason contention, or both of the two teams facing off against one another two games outside of the playoff race or greater. Those two spots, the New York Jets at home, a three-point favorite against the Washington Commanders on Sunday, the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, a 4.5-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have been eliminated, the Jets have been eliminated, the Commanders have been eliminated. The Bears have not been eliminated as of this moment, but at 5-9 on the outside looking in at those five teams above them at 7-7 in the NFC wild card race. Those are the only two games. That means 14 of 16. One of the two teams is in the thick of a playoff race at this moment, including, of course, both of the teams on this Thursday night out in Los Angeles. Joe, when you look at the conference odds in the NFC, as tonight is an NFC matchup between New Orleans and LA, San Francisco is now a minus 115 odds on favorite. The Philadelphia Eagles have the second best price at plus 450. They have moved back in this marketplace. There is now over $5 that separates these two teams. The Cowboys are at 5-1. There is such a disparity, Joe, from where San Francisco is in comparison to the rest of this conference as we enter week number 16. Detroit is plus 850, fourth best price. The Lions are a win away or even a tie against the Vikings from clinching their first divisional championship in three decades. And then at plus 850, Joe, the next shortest price, the fifth best number out of the NFC teams, the Seattle Seahawks at 36-1 and the Rams at 38-1. There is such a large drop-off, Joe, that I think the odds makers are kind of telling the tale here. Regardless of the wild card teams in the NFC that will finish 6-7 in that seed list, regardless of who the teams are, they're not really going to make some noise in the NFC postseason. Do you agree with that sentiment that it's really that tier of three at the top, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Dallas, that will be the only ones contending for that conference title?
I don't know about that. Granted, they deserve to be priced where they are, and there's no doubt about San Francisco being the top dog. And outside of that, I still think the Eagles are the second best team heading into this weekend. And even though they haven't shown it in recent weeks, I still think in a playoff type of situation, they can make a run. And Dallas just by default, right? The problem that I have with the Cowboys, for me, can't win a big game on the road. I do feel that Detroit, maybe in the proper matchup, can strike an upset. Now, outside of that, I think there's two teams to me, when I look at this group, like from the Seahawks down, that if they got into the playoffs, even in a wild card type of situation, they could strike an upset. And then if they get that upset, then guess what? It's game on. They could potentially maybe make a run, right? It's anybody's guess. You just got to get to the dance. I do not feel it's Seattle. Last time they went out, and I go back to that ball game in Baltimore, they got absolutely crushed with Geno Smith. They got boat raced in that ball game. And then, obviously, the Saints, I think, is the same type of situation. But I look to the two teams in the middle of those, Tampa and L.A., and I say, you know what? Tampa coming off a very impressive road win in Green Bay, Lambeau. That's a very difficult place to play. Stepped up and won by 14 points. They're trending in L.A. The way they put up 31 points on Baltimore, who's to say that if they don't go on the road in a playoff type of situation, they couldn't knock off Philly or Dallas or potentially maybe in the right setting, San Francisco, because they have the coach and they have the quarterback. So, you know, if you're asking me, Joe, outside the usual suspects of the top three, who would you bet on? I would only probably bet on either Tampa Bay and L.A. in terms of long shots. That's the only two teams that would get my money bet.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Joe, because take that game for the Rams against the Ravens just two weekends ago. They were a 7.5-point road underdog in Baltimore. I think the Rams, if they were the sixth seed in Detroit, would probably be a 4.5, 5.5-point road underdog in that matchup in the 3-6 divisional round game. It wouldn't be the most outlandish spread, but, you know, a lot can be ironed out over these next 3 weeks. If the Rams win three in a row and the Lions win this week and don't win their final two, or they kind of stumble down the stretch in terms of holding on to that divisional lead in the NFC North, it could be a very different power rating in how we scope out and view these two teams. I will just say, I don't think either of the wildcard teams at 6 or 7 are going to be less than a field goal underdog on the road in that first round divisional matchup. I think Philly or Dallas, whoever's the 2 seed, whichever team is at home, probably going to be close to a 6.5, 7-point favorite in that matchup against whatever the 7 seed ends up being. And whoever the 6 seed is, I would say 4.5, 5 more than likely right now against the Detroit Lions. For instance, the Lions are a 3-point road favorite in Minneapolis this upcoming weekend. If the Vikings were to return the favor and as the 6th seed in the NFC playoff picture and have to visit Detroit in the opening round of the postseason, that line's at least 6.5, 7 points. My overall point being, Joe, is that I don't really know any of the wild card teams, even the Rams, who I think probably have the best shot out of the wild card contenders to go out there and do something crazy. I don't really think either of those teams really have a shot. The Seahawks, maybe they've looked really good the last couple couple of weeks against the best, really good as a statement. They gave the Dallas Cowboys a test at the Star two Thursday nights ago. They covered, albeit lost by double digits against the San Francisco 49ers with Drew Lock. Of course, last week pulled off the upset at home over Philadelphia, the Seattle stunner for the Hawks just on Monday night. I just don't really think there's a lot of benefit for the final two NFC wildcard teams. Whoever ends up in the five spot, Eagles or the Cowboys, I think it's ultimately going to be Dallas just because their schedule is much more difficult. Philadelphia has the easiest schedule remaining. That team, I think, Joe, is going to be the favorite on the road against whatever team wins the NFC South.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, Dallas, is a team that, you know, come on. When they're at home, no matter who they play, they probably have a great matchup. It doesn't matter. Any team in the South. Now, if it's the Saints, all right, maybe, I don't know, because of the defense. But Tampa Bay can go toe-to-toe with Dallas on the road. It's a tough. Dallas deserves to be a double-digit favorite if they match up against a team like Atlanta or Tampa Bay. I mean, I could see that, but because of how dominant they've been, what were 15 wins at home, 16? And they think about this. Prior to them losing against Buffalo, they won that five-game stretch by 23-plus per game. So, come on now. They're going to be a significant favorite no matter who they play. And they beat the Rams. Even in that type of situation, they boat raced them, remember, earlier in the year, like week number 4 or 5. Now, the Rams are different than where they are now because Kupp wasn't even involved in that offense then, and Kyren Williams didn't show his head. So it's where these teams are entering, you know, the first round of the playoffs. But again, Dallas deserves to be there. They just can't win a game on the road, Ben.
that would be the thing, Joe. No. Whoever the number 5 seed in the NFC ends up being, they are going to be on the road. That's the benefit of winning your division, even if it's somebody in NFC South that finishes with a losing record. You get that home game in the opening round of the NFL postseason. Now we'll transition to college football. We'll do so up next with some big news coming out today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Joe, the beauty of our favorite sport in college football is there is the history and tradition of why we love CFP. There is the present, a season that is currently still happening as bowl season gets back underway tonight in Boca Raton, and there is the future. Yesterday, it was National Signing Day, the best recruits in the country signing the dotted line, their national letters of intent to play somewhere at their favorite university in 2024, take advantage of the numerous NIL opportunities that might come their way. Then there was the report very early on this Thursday morning that getting left out of the CFP has spurned Florida State once again to try to take action and get out of the ACC. There is a Board of Trustees meeting scheduled for tomorrow morning in Tallahassee where Florida State will look to file legal filings and start the groundwork, Joe, of getting out of the ACC. We have heard this rumored. We have heard this reported in the last few years and in the last few off seasons, as there has been so much conference realignment and with so much coming our way beginning in 2024. Florida State is trying to make the moves initially, Joe, to get out of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And I think it's a good move for them. You know, for years, Florida State always used to play teams like Auburn and LSU back in the day, you know, with Bobby Bowden, and there's significant ties there. And after you go 13-0 and get railroaded by the College Football Playoff Committee, I guess you have to move on. You know, the ACC is still looked at as a weak conference as it relates to college football, and they're never going to get their due. It's unfortunate. Now, if they would wait next year and they had the same type of situation, they would be in the college football playoff. But, you know, we know about money driving the bus, and we know about how the ACC potentially has divvied up the revenue amongst the teams, and Florida State is upset about that. So I can't blame them. part of this, Ben, is because they did get screwed this year, right? You want something immediate. So what is the quickest way to rectify or get rid of those emotions that you already have? It's to make a move. Be proactive. The only move they can make is obviously separating themselves or potentially separating themselves from the ACC. So I don't fault them for that. I really don't. Because, again, these other teams and these other schools are looked at as, like, above them. And, you know, it really is terrible because out of all – people look at Florida State this year, and it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. We put them almost like a group of five team, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most storied programs in all of college football, dating back to the late 80s and early 90s and, you know, 2000s with Bobby Bowden. And they got screwed because they're looked at as a team like Cincinnati that wouldn't be competitive in terms of the college football playoff.
Absolutely so, Joe. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee said the reason Florida State was left out of the CFP is because of the significant injury to its starting quarterback in Jordan Travis. That's what they said. That's what they stated. If you accept it as fact, feel free to do so. If you have other conspiracy theories or other thoughts to further that conversation, I couldn't really fault you. Now, there's some TV media rights things at play that people have brought up, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But call a spade a spade. We are in the evolution of the Power Two. The Pac-12 is gone. The Big 12 bolstered up its conference members, but it's the Big Ten and it's the SEC. When you look at the final 12 teams in the top 12 of the college football playoff rankings, 11 of those 12 teams, Joe, will either be in the Big Ten or the SEC in 2024. The only team that is an aberration of that is Florida State. It is the prevailing mentality that the Big Ten and the SEC are the power two that control college football and thus, in essence, in a way, control collegiate athletics. It is started from TV money and revenue that comes from those rights deals. That is the driving economic force behind everything we have seen in realignment over the last few years. The SEC first, adding Oklahoma and Texas, the Big Ten next, adding UCLA and USC, and then everything we saw last offseason right up until the start of 2023 with the Big 12 adding the four corner schools in Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. Then the Big 10 answering with Oregon and Washington and the demise of the Pac-12 as we know it with Cal and Stanford even making the move to the ACC and SMU saying we don't even need TV money. We have so many rich donors. We just want a better Power 5 conference. But is the ACC truly considered a Power Five at this moment, Joe? I would say they are four out of four or four out of five if you want to give the Pac-2 or the idea of the Pac-12 still existing. Now, there are the legalities of this all tied to the TV rights deal that the ACC has with ESPN. It wasn't very forward-thinking a couple of years ago for the ACC in the latest round of realignment when schools like Louisville and Syracuse and Pitt were added into the fold to lock themselves into a deal with the ESPN networks, the Disney family, if you will, through 2035-36. It is the grand of rights that every member institution in the current ACC has signed. The grant of rights being that is your membership into this conference. If you are going to try to exclude this conference or exit this conference, you are going to pay a hefty lump sum. Everybody has had to do that. UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington, Texas, Oklahoma to leave those conferences, but they are not as hefty of a lump sum, Joe, and there are not the legal loopholes in that grant of rights deal with the member institutions and the ACC like we have seen in the other leagues. They estimate the ACC buyout, if you want to break the grant of rights, to be north of $120 million. You might be able to recoup that if you go get a part of the SEC or Big Ten media deal if you are Florida State, but it's going to be hard to make up that kind of money, and it is very difficult to forward that kind of money when you try to at least put up the facade that you are an academic institution and these student athletes are just that, students, although we know that facade Todd is a force and has been for a very long time. But that's what's keeping Florida State, Joe, into the ACC right now. The grant of rights and how difficult it is to break, because if it could have been broken by now, believe me, Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, and the like would have found a way to join a new conference multiple years ago.
No, I agree. I mean, that's a great point. You know, we know about TV revenue. And, you know, again, this conference was put together because of twofold, right? When we see the current ACC, we see it not just from a football perspective, but we see it exactly how it relates to the NCAA tournament with Duke in North Carolina, and how Florida State was an up-and-coming basketball program, and now Miami. So it was a dual type of thing. You know, when you looked at the SEC, yeah, SEC basketball has come on in recent years, but it's still a football conference. Big Ten, football conference. Yes, basketball second, but again, it's just so heavy as it relates to football. The ACC was never looked at as I need to be a part of the ACC football conference. No, it's like, I want the SEC, I want the Big Ten, I want the Pac-12 back in the day. You never wanted to really associate yourself with the ACC because it was looked at as soft. And outside of Florida State winning back in 2013, there hasn't been a real dominant team. And that is part of the problem. Well, when push came to shove with the committee had an out because of how the conference was viewed by the public. And that's a disservice to what Florida State and Norvell have done. And we'll see where the chips fall, you know? I mean, because only time will tell. But again, it's Florida State being proactive, but this isn't a move out of necessity now, because next year we're going to have 12 anyway.
Well, yeah, so yes and no, right? Let me just say, Clemson has been the dominant team in the ACC, certainly here in
the college football playoff era. Yes.
With two national championships.
Yep,
go ahead.
You're right. No, I was just going to say, but the conference as a whole was never looked at from top to bottom the way the SEC or the Big Ten were as a whole. And you're right about Clemson. Forgot about Clemson, but God.
Yeah, well, no fault there, Joe, because you're right. It has been the one nuclear team that has been seen as the dominant side in the ACC, but is the beneficiary of a weak depth of conference, if you will, throughout the rest of the league, which I think hurt Florida State in this year's assessment of the Noles, and could they contend for a college football playoff national championship. But as we know, conference realignment is not to better position yourself in terms of competition and wins and losses. Conference realignment is to better position yourselves in terms of TV revenue and the main economic driving factor that is college football. We heard from Chip Kelly before the Bruins lined up in the LA Bowl this past weekend, talking about how he would see the future of college football, specifically college football, which is, as things stand, a professional league, regardless of what we want to call it. Now, it's sad, right? The reality we face now is very different than the history and the tradition of why we love this sport, and I would still argue that deciding a national champion is not the pinnacle of college football. There are moments throughout a season that 133 fan bases love more than whoever ends up winning the college football playoff, but the reality that we are in with the billion-dollar television deal the Big Ten has with Fox and NBC and CBS, and the close to $350 million deal that the SEC has with Disney, is that TV money drives the engine. So Chip Kelly had a great idea where he said there needs to be a power conference commissioner for college football, because I don't think one thing, Joe, the public really knows out there is they call it NCAA football. It's not. The FBS level is the only championship in collegiate athletics that is not governed or handed out by the NCAA. FCS, yes. Division II, yes. On the football field, yes. The FBS level is its completely own governing body. And yet we don't have a commissioner. We don't have a board. We do have a board, but we don't have a commissioner that is that figurehead for all of FBS football. So Chip Kelly's point was, you take 64 Power 5 programs, you have 64 Group of 5 programs, and you operate as two conferences virtually, like we have seen in the National Football League. And that way you have football that is different than the rest of the other collegiate athletics, where you would still have the geographic ties in conferences, so that Oregon Oregon softball would not have to take a 2.5-week vacation to the East Coast to play Rutgers, Penn State, and Maryland, and they could play the teams that are geographically located around them because they are not the economic force, nor do they have the resources, nor do they have the scheduling logistics to have the week off like football and everything that goes into the power and behemoth that is college football. And Joe, with that coming up once again in what seems to be another round of realignment, if Florida State can pull this off, and if the Seminoles leave the ACC, who knows what happens to the rest of that conference. It seems as though that is where we are trending, whether you like it, enjoy it, agree with it, or not.
No, it's a great point. And again, you know, it all comes down to catching the dollar and catching the exposure. And the SEC and Big Ten have positioned themselves perfectly for this 12-team playoff. They have solidified themselves with the additions of both Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC, respectively. They have now all four corners of the nation cornered as it relates to exposure, sponsorship dollars, and that's why they're reaping everything right now.
And that's the college football realm that we live in. Always an eye on the future, even when the present still needs to be decided. Because there is a bowl game on this Thursday in Boca Raton between South Florida and Syracuse. We'll give you a pick up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. One more game to preview, Joe. We're back into bowl season after a Wednesday off. This Thursday night football slate not only includes the NFL, the Rams, and the Saints, but the Boca Raton Bowl between South Florida, USF, and Syracuse. Now a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Orange. The over-under 55.5. What is Joe Lisi's best bet in Boca Raton?
Oh, I'm going to surprise you. Under the total. They're going to run. Both teams. We talked about Syracuse potentially utilizing the Wildcat. We know Brown, the athletic quarterback for USF, they could push tempo. His total's 242.5 tonight. Yeah. I lean to USF with the points, but my best bet is the under, Ben. I'm going to blind
bet. Yeah, Joe, I agree with you.
Are you shocked?
I never thought I'd hear Joe Lisi take a midweek college football bowl game in the middle of December to the unders. Certainly not given the scoring we have seen, at least to start this week, in the Western Kentucky Old Dominion game and what we saw between UTSA and Marshall just a few days ago. But I agree, Joe. South Florida, not a good rushing defense. Who's playing quarterback for Syracuse? We have no idea. It might be Valari, who's a tight end but can run it like Taysom Hill is going to for New Orleans tonight. LaQuint Allen, the running back for the Orange. His prop is 130.5. I think the Orange are going to take advantage of that. Now, USF has been a good underdog this year, 5-2 against the spread, but Syracuse in September can maybe find what they are needing to do now in December, because Syracuse in the non-conference was a perfect 4-0. They covered in 3 of the 4 games, booked as a favorite in all 4, covering in all 3 against an FBS foe, and all 3 of those games stayed under. If Joe Lisi's taking the under for a Boca Raton Bowl, you need to be doing the same exact thing. You can hear from Joe Lisi even later tonight on Sports Grid. Pro Football Today tonight, the Thursday night football preview special with Joe, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, and you'll hear from us on a Football Friday on Football Full Circle, starting tomorrow at noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.